Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. So excited that you're here. We hope that you enjoy this week's talk and it really connects to your life in a meaningful way. If you're live in the Pomona area, we would love to have you at one of our gatherings at 10 a.m. or at one of our Humanity groups that meet all throughout the week, all over the city. If you want more information about our community, you can go to www.humanitychurch.com or download our app on your phone on Apple or Android. If you like what you're hearing here and want to continue to support the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977 and give back financially in just about 10 seconds. Hey, and here's this week's talk that was given live at our Sunday gathering at Humanity Church.
My name's Kara Murano, as Juan said, and I'm a communicator here at Humanity, and I'm always excited to be here with you guys. And before we start, I just want to pray. God, thank you for being here. I don't want to ask you to show up because I know you're already here. God, but I pray today, this morning especially, that we would notice, that we would tune into you, that we would pay attention, that we would listen to what you're saying. Not what I'm saying, God, but what you're speaking to each individual person through the songs, through the hosting time, through the message, through the person sitting next to them. God, I just pray that we would be really in tune and paying attention to what you're doing. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so for the last couple weeks, if you guys have been here, we've been in a conversation called Soul Environments, right? Where we're going over our core values here at Humanity Church. Now, many companies, even churches, kind of do core values and mission statement is all that. It's just kind of like you just got to do it, right? Like you just got to have something to put on the website. It's really the, right? If it's a job, you got to make the manual. You got to put the stuff in there. And then you just put it in a drawer and you never think about it. But that's not what we do here. We allow these five core values that we have set up to really permeate everything that we do here. If you see us make a decision here or do something here, it has gone through all five core values. Is it this? 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 Yes. Then we're going to move forward on that. So we really want to live those out in the way that we do church here. And we also want these to transfer into your personal life. Not that this would just be like on Sundays when you come here and you're at Humanity, then yes, love is the context for all mission. But Monday through Saturday, yeah, I don't own that in my own life, right? It's just like just on Sundays. So we pray that it would also really dig into your own life and the way that you live. So like I said, we have five core values, so not a lot. You could totally remember them and use them in your life. And we have them all connected to natural elements, okay? So we call these soul environments, meaning that these are environments that create space for your soul to thrive. We believe that God created us to thrive. He created us perfectly. He created us able and capable. All these environments do is that they create a space for you to step into what God has already given you, okay? So Nathan has covered our first two core values. The very first week we had mission is why the church exists, which was represented by the element of wind, right? And this means what? We don't do church to stay in here the same 100 people for the rest of our lives till we all die, right? The point of our church, of the church, is to go out, is to love people outside these walls and to live on mission together. And then last week he talked about our second core value, which is love is the context for all mission. That as we're going out, as we're doing these things, that we must do it with a heart and context of love or it's a waste. And so those are the two that we've talked about. And today we're going to move into our third value, which is actually my personal favorite. So it worked out well that I got to come up here and talk to you guys today. Have you guys ever found yourself in a structure that you find really confining? I tend to find all structures confining, honestly. In fact, the other day, I'm a stay-at-home mom, which is like a very flexible job, right? I don't even get dressed in the morning. I told my husband, I can't imagine having to like get up and put on pants that button every day in the morning and leave it. Like, what? No. So clearly, I'm like on the way end of the non-structure. But don't worry, I like structure too, just not pants that button. You guys feel me on that, right? Come on. We'd all rather be in our jammies right now, let's be honest. But we got dressed, so good job. So if you guys ever found yourself in a structure that you find confining, it could be a job, it could be school, it could even be your home, right? Your home structure. So yes, you have found yourself in a confining. Yes. Have you ever made statements like, it's too restricting, I just can't be myself, I'm expected to be something I'm not, or they just won't let me do it how I'm supposed to, right? Now, on the other end, there might be some people who really, almost really cling to the structure. They really love the structure and the clear rules to follow. I'm not one of those people, but I hear they exist. Some of them might even be sitting in this room. But we kind of feel those two ends, right? And we deal with structures all the time. Whether we pay attention to it or not, we're always interacting with structures every single day. We either find ourselves empowered by them or held back by them. The sad thing is that too often when I hear people talk about the movement of Jesus, or what we call church, they think it's confining and controlling. Not because of who Jesus was, right? But because of the way humans, us, have structured what we call church. We kind of seem to say, be set free by Jesus, and then join us and we'll tell you what to do and you'll look like us and act like us and talk like us and we'll take up all your time, yes. Right? So enter our third core value, because that's not what we want here at Humanity Church. Our third core value is structure must always submit to spirit. Yeah, I love it. And it's represented by the natural element of wood. This means that our church is empowering, not controlling. We believe that every follower is called and connected and is uniquely qualified to serve. Before the structure-loving people get nervous, I want to point out that I didn't say we have no structure here, we don't believe in it, it's evil, right? We have structures, right? We're in a building. We pay for this building. We rent this building. We got offices up there with people who work here and do things, right? We have a scheduled gathering time. We're not just like, show up when the Spirit leads and you know, come whenever the Lord tells you. Some of you might think that, but actually, you know, we have a start time. Just kidding, guys. I'm just like to dig at the late people because I'm usually one of them. We have ministry heads, right? People who are gifted in charge of ministries that they're gifted in. We have staff. We even have a budget, like a paper spreadsheety budget, you guys. We have a process for people coming up here to speak to you and sing, right? Someone just said, you know what? The Lord's telling me I'm gonna lead the worship time today. And we're like, well, I don't think that's going to happen, right? Because we have a way that we do things. We have a lead pastor. We have an elder team. We have a safe drop-off structure for those of us who have kids, right? So don't feel scared if you like structure. We have structures, but we are not slaves to them. And we are not afraid to restructure and to adapt. Because we know that if we're slaves to structure, we're also not going to be able to fulfill those first two core values. Because mission is messy and it's spirit-led, right? And love, gosh, scary, risky, messy, we're gonna mess up, it's hard, right? So if we're in love with our structures, we are not gonna be on mission and we're not going to be doing that mission in love. So all of these come together. For us here, when push comes to shove and we have to choose between allegiance to the Spirit or allegiance to a man-made structure, we will always, always come down and choose the Spirit. It means the structures that we do embrace here have a purpose, and that purpose is they create room for the Spirit to move, right? Our structures serve God's Spirit. It means that if we've created a structure that leaves someone out or keeps somebody on the outside, that we make sure it goes away, because the movement of Jesus is for every single person. It's not exclusive. It's not like a country club. It's a place where anybody can walk in these doors and feel welcome. Before we get too far, let's just quickly define what we mean by structure and spirit. I'm sure you guys know what structure is, but I looked it up because I was like, how do you explain? Like, how do you, you know when you have to define something and you're like, I don't know, it's just like a structure. that's like how, my kids are always asking me what stuff means. And I'm like, I don't know, it's just like, that's just what it is. And it's really helpful. A structure, I looked it up in the dictionary, not like a real, we don't even own a real dictionary now that I'm thinking about it. I just looked it up online, you know. Something arranged in a definite pattern of organization. As a verb, it means to form into or according to a structure. We're all pretty familiar with what structure means, but I also want to remind you that there is a way that structure is personal also, by the way that you craft your life and your schedule and your priorities. That's a structure that you've personally set up in your own life. So don't just think of structure as like outside of you. We also create our own structures. And what's spirit? Well, we know spirit is the immaterial, right? It's the part of us, the part of the world that we can't see or touch or feel, but we know that it's there. Romans 8, 9, and 11 gives us a pretty good definition. So you guys can pull out your Bibles. You can pull out whatever you read your Bible on, your phone probably. And if you do not have a copy of the scriptures and you would like one to take home, please raise your hand and one of our ushers will get that to you because we want everybody to have the scriptures in their home. So here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and 11. It says, you, that means you, all of you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So basically, when we are saying spirit, the spirit is God, right? And also that the spirit of God is inside of us. The very spirit that was able to raise Christ from the dead lives in us. So the spirit is God and he's in us and he's also among us in our gatherings. So you guys have a pretty like clear understanding of what's what, right? So what we're basically saying is that when it comes down to it, we are gonna serve God before we are tied to a structure. Why? Why don't we choose this? Do we just like make these up all willy-nilly because we're free spirits like that here? No, these are biblical. All of these are backed up by scripture. And so I just wanna quickly kind of talk about why. Why must structure always submit to spirit? The first thing is that God is a spirit, right? Like, it's kind of crazy to wrap your mind around. He's a spirit, right? He's not a physical body. He never moves in structure alone. He always uses the spirit. If we look at the Old Testament, we know that God's character is steadfast, right? It says in the Bible, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What that doesn't mean is that we do things the same yesterday, today, and forever. What it means is that the character of God, who he is, love, just, kind, a father, that doesn't change. But if you look, if you just like skim over the Old Testament, you will see that God was not afraid to try new methods, right? He was like kind of wacky, right? He like Adam and Eve, and then they messed up, and then he like sent them out of the garden for their own good. And then he like was like, you know what? These people are like unrighteous. There's no hope. Noah's the only good one. Noah, build a boat. I'm wiping everybody out, right? We're glad that he promised not to do that one again, right? He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Then when people weren't following the rules, he's like, you know what? Let me put the rules on this like stone thing and send them down. And then people will obey. And that didn't work. This funny story in the Bible that he had these warriors knock down walls by marching in circles and singing. He used prophets and kings to spread his message. God is always doing something new. Right? He's always using a new way to get in touch with his people. He's not afraid to try something. He's not coming to us the same way every time. And the Bible is evidence of that. Now, if we look forward to the New Testament where God sends us Jesus, who is his son, and also him, right? Because they're three in one, the Trinity. We look at Jesus, and if you read through any of the Gospels, I'm reading through John right now, and I'm constantly struck by how spirit-led Jesus is. He says multiple times, like, I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing it because the Father told me, right? The Father and I are one. That means his spirit is connected to the spirit of God. He was not a slave to the structures around him, right? He was not a slave to, like, the literal structures, like the government and even the church. He was also not a slave to the structures of our favorite way. This is just how it's always been, right? In fact, there's this story in the Bible, and Jesus is out, and this group of men brings this woman to Jesus, and they said, this woman was caught in adultery. The law says we have to stone her to death. What do you think we should do, right? And so Jesus knows what's the structure, what's been set up in that time. You do this, this is what happens to you. So Jesus pauses, he slows down, and he makes a new way. He doesn't say that the law is bad. He doesn't lecture anybody. He doesn't shame the woman. He says, you know what? If you have not sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone at this lady. And slowly, right? Everybody walks away. Jesus was abolishing structures all the time and giving us a new way to do things. The other thing I noticed about Jesus is that he's always taking time to connect with God. If you, again, like I said, I think you guys should read through the Gospels because it's so fun to watch Jesus's life kind of unfold. He's always like going away from people and connecting to God, like all the time. So, so often. Often before or after a big miracle, he's been spending time with the Father. He's been listening, right? The other thing that I'm struck by about how unstructured Jesus was is like how really terrible the marketing was. Like if I was God, which is a scary thought. You guys ever think like if I was God, you know what I would do? Now if I was God, I would send Jesus with like a 10-step how to win followers and influence people, right? I would connect him, set him up with key meetings with the movers and shakers of the time, right? I would think of people who could endorse him, almost like a political campaign, right? Try to get his name out in the most effective way, but God did none of that. In fact, Jesus was born as a baby, which is like the most vulnerable thing you could be. And he was born to young parents, and he was kind of on the run, and he was just not what I would have thought he would be, right? And then when he starts his ministry, he chooses the most normal people that you could ever choose to be his followers, to be his disciples. He doesn't choose the best or the smartest or the most righteous. He chooses just seemingly these regular guys. He didn't care about rubbing elbows with people in power. In fact, he ate with sinners. He ate with prostitutes and tax collectors, people who were despised, right? He was not marketing himself how I would have marketed him. In fact, in John one time, he heals this man who was born blind, right? Which is insane and miraculous. And then the authorities say, who healed you? And the guy goes, I don't know. He didn't tell me his name. Like Jesus, he didn't even say like, I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I'm healing you. He just like healed him and let him go on his way, right? He was so connected to the Spirit. And he says this in John, I'm just going to read it to you. He says, for I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know that this command is eternal life, so the things I speak just as the Father has told me. So we know that God is Spirit, right? He's always doing something new. And we know that Jesus, when he was a human, who he basically gave us the how-to, that he was so intimately connected to God that he was constantly talking with him, escaping so that he could be with him and see what to do next. The other reason is this is actually how God has set up humanity to move. So I want to read to you guys this passage if you want to turn with me in John 15. It's called The Vine and the Branches. And this will give you a good idea of how this actually plays out in real life. Here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that we'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you, right? That means be connected to God's Spirit. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Sure, branches are picked up. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, what a lot of remaining, right? He's like very repetitive for us who don't get it, like me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be disciples. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain, again, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So you can see here that God set up a structure, right? So he likes structure too, don't worry. He says what? He's the gardener, right? Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. That we are the extension of him, the ones that bear the fruit, right? If we aren't doing anything, we wither and die. Not a physical death, but our souls. When we are not connected to Jesus, our souls are dying. But if we connect to him, we bear fruit, which is evidence of us being connected to him. So here we have natural element, right? The vine and the branches connected to a spiritual truth. I guess we stole our idea from Jesus, because that's what we do, right? We got a truth connected to a natural element. So in case you're wondering what exactly the Spirit of God is about, look no further than this passage. And it's here: to remain in God's love and to love one another as God has loved us. The Spirit, God's Spirit, comes down to two things: to love God and to love people. If it doesn't fit into those two things, it is not from the Spirit of God. The other thing that the Spirit of God, when he gives you something or tells you something, it will line up with what the scriptures say, right? He's not going to tell you something that is not in line with loving him and loving others and in line with what the Bible has already said. I feel like I should warn you that when you let this core value take over your church and your life, it gets messy. It will almost 100% likely to be inconvenient. It will be scary. You might look like a weirdo. You'll have to get out of your comfort zone. You might do some unconventional things. The Spirit was made for movement, for going out, for connecting, for getting out of your comfort zone. When my husband and I decided to become parents, we were 23, which now looking back is terrifying that 23-year-olds have children, but they do. And we deviated from what is normal, which we kind of always have done, and so it wasn't a shock to the people who know us, but we decided that instead of trying to have a biological child, we were going to adopt a child. Yeah, it was awesome, right? It was very cool. So we were already like really praying, and God was like, yeah, this is what, you know, you need to do. So we did it. And it was interesting to see how people respond when you deviate from normal, right? People kind of whisper like, oh, she probably kind of can't have kids, or like maybe something happened. And you know, just like stuff like that. And that's so weird. And we're like, yeah, I know, it is weird. We're cool. We're weird. We're doing things like what God tells us. And it was interesting to watch deviating from what is normal and how people responded to that, and also how we responded to that. Because there's a certain structure when you have a baby biologically, right? You get pregnant, and then you have all these physical signs. It's very predictable in nature, right? You get these apps, and it tells you every week how big your baby is, what they're doing, all this stuff. It's very comforting. Now that I've had that experience after adopting, I'm like, whoa, this is like much less anxiety-provoking than adoption. Because adoption, you don't know any, I mean, you have very few concrete things to hold on to. Structure is there, but it's really, it's not a lot. It's a lot of trust. It's a lot of Spirit. And so we ended up adopting this wonderful little boy, our son Nolan, and it was just such a cool, cool experience. And, you know, he blessed us more than we've ever blessed him still to this day. And so we thought, like, okay, we'll do this one more time. And when we had set out, we had set, there's this crazy thing you do when you adopt a child, and you actually get like a checklist, and it sounds terrible to say it, but we adopted through the county, and you can like look through, they give you like literally a list of like special needs, disabilities, behavior problems, and you can check off thing like a child that you would not accept, right? So if you don't want a child with Down syndrome, you would say no, right? You don't get to do this when you're pregnant. When you get pregnant, it's like, well, get what you get. So we had before said, like, we definitely just don't feel capable of having a child with special needs. Like, it's just not for us. And for some reason, I still don't know why the social workers called us, but they called us for this little boy that was born at 24 weeks gestation, which is like very, very early. That means his mom was 6 months pregnant. And the survival rate at that age is about 50-50. And the prognosis is questionable. You have no idea what life looks like in 5, 10, 20 years down the road. So they brought us this case and they were like, what do you think? And I was like, well, we said we didn't want to take a kid who would have special needs. For some reason, we said that. But there was something inside both of us, my husband and I, that said, like, yes, you need to do this. Even though it goes against everything you've set up for your life, that I'm presenting something to you that is a yes for you. And so we said yes, and we have a beautiful, beautiful boy who's 6 now. He has cerebral palsy, and he's miraculous, and he's hilarious and naughty, and we adore him. He's so naughty because he's really cute. So he's the really cute ones that just, they know. They know they can get away with everything, right? And so there was something about listening to the Spirit of God and doing things the way that he told us to, not how society told us to, not how most people just did it. And it was really powerful, not only for us, but for our community to walk this with us and to see this with us. And we adopted 2 more times after that and then had a baby, and so we just, like, Spirit of God is really blessing us. it's just listening to the Spirit is really important, and it will call you to do things that feel very, very scary. Adopting our kids felt scary. People say, oh, gosh, you're so brave, and I'm like, no, we were scared. We just did it. We just kept going, scared, and just kept going, and still today, right? Still a little scared. We just like still keep going. And so that's how it's kind of showed up in my life. But how does this show up in our church? I don't want to talk about these core values and they're just kind of like this lofty spiritual theoretical thing, right? So how do we actually live this value out here at our church? I'm going to guess that you've heard Christians complaining about lots of things. But this specific thing, you may have heard people say it. I'm sure we've got Christians posting this on Facebook, that people are leaving the church at an alarming rate, right? Our nation is anti-Jesus. Our nation is anti-church and God, and we're just all going to burn in hell, right? You hear that, right? I'm not the only one who like hears people that are just like down on the people. Like, what is wrong with people that they are leaving the church, right? But I'm wondering if perhaps we're losing our relevance because we're just another confining structure. We're just another option to go to join, to act like. And if I looked at your average church, I'd be like, yeah, I got a lot more fun structure over there. I'm good. You guys keep your structure to yourself, right? We justify this by calling it religion. But we know that God is not a God of control. He's a God of freedom. So how has this value taken hold here? If you are here, you may notice there's something that feels different about this place. And honestly, it's what drew my husband and I here almost 9 years ago, next month. We walked into the doors of the Fox Theater on the very first gathering that was here in downtown Pomona. And we walked in feeling done with church. We had literally walked out of our home church that I had been at my entire life the weekend before. We were burned, we were beat up, we were disillusioned, and we were exhausted. The plan was to stay disconnected from the church and to guard ourselves. If we were going to go to a church, we were going to sit in the back row and we weren't going to talk to anybody. We were going to sleep in on Sundays when we felt like it, and we were just going to visit. any church we felt like and just let them serve us. Christians, in the Christian world, we call this church shopping. You guys ever heard of that? Yeah, they're like, she's like, no, worship wasn't good. Pastor was annoying. Ooh, didn't like the kids program. That's what we were going to do, right? That was our plan. The fact that I'm standing up here tells you that that did not go to plan, did it? We sat down, and it was there, like I said, the very first Sunday. Nathan got up and talked about the move, and the fact that this church had a leader that would give up a lot of literal structures, a building, belongings, comfort, safety, and would come to a place downtown Pomona where he knew, Nathan knew that he was called to. Nathan knew that this was the place where the church should be. It was inspiring. It was like, this is the kind of place I want to be that isn't a slave to church, that's willing to move and to risk and to change. And about halfway through the gathering, my husband and I look at each other like, oh, crap. You know when you get a look with your spouse, like, dang it, this is the place. Like, we're going to be here. This is our church home. 1 week after, we're supposed to be sleeping in and church shopping. But we've been here from that Sunday on, all in, fully committed. That's what this movement of God has to offer us, freedom and empowerment, right? You won't find us here overloading you with programs and schedules and things every single night of the week. Do you know why? We want your free time to be spent loving your neighbors and interacting with your coworkers and investing in your family or volunteering with one of the amazing organizations that serves Pomona and the greater areas. We don't want you here 24 hours a day. We want you out, right? We also do groups a little differently. If you've ever been to a humanity group, you know that it's a little different than a traditional, what you would expect from a Bible study. We definitely still have a structure, but a big part of community group is to hear from God, to listen to his voice and to speak it out for encouragement and strengthening for the people that are in your group. We don't believe that group is a place where the same six couples gather for 12 years and never have anyone new, never have anyone come and go. We encourage groups to multiply, which means that they expand. The leaders go out and start new groups with their own people. Our groups are always evolving and changing, but the one constant thing is that we are always listening to the Spirit of God. That means that if someone is having a week, you know those weeks, something hard is happening, that means that we stop all pre-scheduled events and we pray for them. That doesn't mean that when it hits 8:30 and someone's being prayed for, we say, oh, scripture time, gotta get to scripture, all right, good job, all right, we'll pray for you later, right? No, we are not a slave to the structure of, even the structure that we've set up. We are in tune with the Spirit, hearing from God. If you aren't in a group or you haven't been to a group, you gotta go. But I don't know how else to say it other than the Spirit is so evident there, you'll be changed. The other thing we do is that we are changed when new people join us, right? Imagine adding a member to your family and having nothing change. That's like, we laugh because that's ridiculous, right? Anyone who's been married or gotten in-laws or had a new brother-in-law or sister-in-law or, goodness gracious, had a new baby, everything changes, right? The essence of who you are is changed by the people that join up with you. My 8-year-old son, who I already talked about, Nolan, he, the last couple years, really fell in love with baseball. And I am not a sports girl. Not even close. And so he started playing baseball. He started watching baseball. He loves baseball. He knows all the stats and all the players on the Dodgers and all this stuff. And you know what? Now I love baseball. I know when the Dodger games are. I know the names of Dodger players. I'm learning right field and left field and all these things because my kid is into it. So I'm changed. Right? I own a Dodger hat, you guys. Like, what? Who am I? I know. But it's because of him, right? He changed the structure of our family. And that happens here, right? Do you guys know that we have an awesome writers group that meets and they write and they're creative. And do you know why we did that? Because Nathan is brilliant. No, because we had someone join our community who's a writer and a creative, and Kate got that going. Do you know why we have FPU like Juan was talking about? Because him and Leslie are passionate about having that for our church, right? They took it and they ran with it. The other thing is, if something isn't working, we're not afraid to change it, right? We are always looking for new ways, not new values, but new ways to do things. You're gonna see a big emphasis on personal freedom and personal responsibility. Think we should have a ministry to love local teachers in Pomona? Start it. Yeah. There's not a community group that fits your busy schedule? Lead your own, right? Have an idea about a prayer and worship night? Let's get it going, right? Everything that exists here is because there is a person who cares about it and owns it. Walk into Mini Kids, you'll see Cheryl Smith, who has decades, yes, Lord, give it up for Cheryl Smith. I know, she's the best woman in the world. She has decades of experience. She's standing there ready and willing to welcome your kids. First-time guest, second-time guest, someone in need, expect a call from Marla Neighbor because she is passionate about connecting. Experience a heartache or a tragedy or even a great joy, your community group will be there to celebrate or mourn with you. Have you ever noticed the environment here? We call it the ambiance. It's a very fancy word. That you're welcomed and that there's delicious coffee and that people are kind and friendly. Well, you can thank John and Cheryl Williamson because they work so stinking hard to make that happen for us. Have you ever experienced God at a community group? You should thank the leaders who, despite having, I'm gonna guarantee you, just as busy a schedule as you do and just as many things that would unqualify them from being a perfect leader, they did it anyway. If you wanna use your passion to serve God, you have come to the right community. Our church is not controlling because God is not controlling. We are empowering because God is empowering. And before I let you guys go, I want to, us to consider how this can show up in our own lives. Because the core values here are deeply personal. We would hope that you would take these and that you would actually apply them to how you live. But living this out in our own lives will cost us our comfort. It will cost us our predictability, our self-focus, our love of money, our desire to control our image, our desire to carry our own burdens and mind our own business. But the Spirit is already on the move in your home and in your neighborhoods and at your workplace and in whatever classroom you may be in. God is just waiting for you to engage. But one thing that I've noticed in this resistance to the Spirit is that hurry and being overscheduled and prioritizing comfort are the enemy of the Spirit of God. If we are constantly filling our lives with things and schedules and activities and just general busyness, where is the room for God? If we're slaves to overscheduling, we won't even be listening for the Spirit. And on the off chance that we may hear something, we'll be too busy to actually do it. I'm not suggesting that you drop all the things you have to do in your life, right? We have jobs, we have children, we have things that have to be taken care of. But what I'm suggesting is that you create some margin. What I mean is, if your capacity is here, right? We all have a capacity of hours in a day, of skills we have, of time, of what we have to get done, right? And then we have our ability to schedule ourselves. So what I think we do and I do is I schedule and I go all the way to here. I'm full, right? I'm doing all I can do. And then that means when I have a friend in need, I can't be there because I'm so already up against my capacity. What I'm suggesting is that you do your life around here, that you leave space and time for free time, for God to move, that you build a little bit of time in your morning commute so that you can speak extra to the barista at Starbucks, right? That you can have time to look people in the eye and speak to them and value them because you're not in a rush. Give yourself a little cushion so that when things arise, you aren't already maxed out. I'm a lover of comfort. and I'm an introvert. So many of the things that God's Spirit calls me to do involve getting out of my comfort zone and interacting with my neighbors. I'm the person that if my neighbor, I'm like going inside the door, like I'll take the trash out when that other neighbor goes inside because I don't want to chat. Well, that's terrible. I know, I'm admitting this, you guys. I'm sorry. Just the other day, I was like ready. We were out. We're always in the front yard. This is the other problem. Gotta go in your backyard. But we're always in the front yard because they can ride scooters out there. And so we're outside and I'm like just about to tell them to go in so that I could put them in front of the TV so that I could do what I want to do instead of supervising them outside. Guys, just the judgments of me are just piling on, right? So this happened. I was like ready to go inside. We're done. And then our neighbor comes out across the street and she has this adorable little boy who loves to play with my kids. And she's like, hey, and I'm like, oh, hi. Ooh. I hope she can't see me cringing all the way across the street. and her son is just one little toddler in his family. And so when any kid sees a group of five kids, it's like, oh, there's a party at that house. So of course he comes out, he wants to come over. So they come over and we spend another, we're literally outside till it's like dark and freezing. And it was awesome because I got to connect with her, but that wasn't what my structure wanted to do. That wasn't my plan, right? When I have a friend that really wants to connect and I've been trying and trying to get connected with, and the only time she can meet is during nap time, AKA the best hour and a half of my day every day. Do I push it back another few weeks till we can miraculously find a date? Or do I say, forget it? I'm not a slave to my schedule. Today, I'm gonna let it go for the sake of showing up for somebody else. Even though for me, it means some whiny hours before bedtime, right? This means that when your coworker or a classmate has an issue, I guarantee you it will be on your busiest day. It will be the day where you have a deadline due, but that you can pause and that you can see them and that you can hear them out. It might show up as a phone call from a friend or right when you sit down to start your Netflix time. Ugh. It might be an opportunity to serve that would interrupt your favorite relaxing, sleeping in Saturday mornings. It will always feel a little bit uncomfortable every time. The only way to get through that is to just do it, to decide that the Spirit of God is more important than anything else. And the cool thing is, I'm just gonna close with this verse. God doesn't leave us hanging. He tells us what our lives will look like if we're connected to His Spirit. And He conveniently calls these the fruit of the Spirit. And they're in Galatians 5, 22 to 25. And it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, that means the things that are produced in your life if you're connected to Jesus, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That means what we want all the time. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that is my prayer for you guys, the last verse. For our community as a whole and for each of you individually, may we keep in step with the Spirit. May we be open to interruptions. May we be open to doing things a new way. May we prioritize inclusivity. May we not be slaves to our schedules. May we listen to God and have the courage to move when He asks us to. May we keep in step with the Spirit. You guys pray with me. God, we thank You. We thank You that You are Spirit, that You gave us Your Spirit, and that Your Spirit is always one of love, to love You and to love the people that You've placed around us, Jesus. We thank You that You made it so clear for us. We pray that You give us boldness because the world wants us to be slaves to structure. The world wants us busy and overscheduled and hurried with no time to attend to the hurting world around us. So we pray that we're a people that pay attention, that move when You say, God, and that are always open to the new thing that You are doing. Thank You for being who You are, constant in Your character and ever changing, always doing a new thing in Your methods, God. We love You and we're grateful for You. In Your precious name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Humanity Church podcast. We hope that this was a meaningful experience, and we look forward to connecting again next week for another conversation around what it looks like to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. Again, for more information about Humanity Church, you can visit us online at humanitychurch.com. And if you want to support the ongoing work here at Humanity Church, including this podcast, you can give online in about 10 seconds by texting the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977. Thanks, and have an amazing week.